Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Interesting parts of my job is that I see a lot of folks after they've had major surgery, and I've seen a great many folks after open heart surgery, which is kind of a terrifying thing to conceive of and to undergo, and then to witness. You know, the person really does look like something major has happened, and I can only imagine the transformation, but the kind of terrifying thought of undergoing a heart transplant, which former Vice President Cheney underwent this week, turns out, and so unwittingly became a sermon illustration for me. But that sense of complete surrender of this most vulnerable organ to those who know what they're doing, but what a terrifying thing, what an awe-inspiring thing, what a miraculous thing. And what a trusting thing to submit oneself to such a procedure. Doctors, of course, have credentials and resumes, and they know exactly what the procedure is, and they'll describe it to you beforehand, any major procedure, and what the outcomes are, and what the risks are, and what the benefits are, and they will explain it all in great detail so that we can feel fully informed and as comfortable as we can in the face of such a major life event and such a major medical event. God gives us no such resume, no such credentialing, no such plan laid out. We don't sign any waivers saying that we completely understand the risks and benefits and potential outcomes of submitting ourselves to God. Well, yes, we know that Jesus is the great physician, but he's not a heart surgeon. The translation that I'm most familiar with in both the Jeremiah passage that I read and the Psalm 59, speak of a new heart. God's covenant, God's law, God's love written on our hearts in Jeremiah. And in Psalm 51, the psalmist prays, "Create in me a clean heart and put a new and right spirit within me." This sense that God's law, grace, love, God's word, God's self is written in our hearts, and that this changes our heart entirely. It's not even like open heart surgery to unclog a valve or something. It is a new heart. It is a heart transplant. It is a complete taking out of something old and putting in something new. It's amazing to me that without modern science, and you know what we can actually do now with heart transplants and heart surgeries and stuff, just basically with the knowledge that they could have received by butchering animals, essentially, the people of Israel understood how profoundly important and central the heart was, and what the metaphor, the idea of changing one's heart must be. How scary and vulnerable it is to talk about change at that intimate inner level of the heart. To change one's mind, we don't actually think about, taking out a brain and putting in a new one, because we don't really do that. Changing our minds, we seem to be able to do very easily. You know, when we're talking about changing our minds, that we're talking about intellectually assenting to one thing and then changing and intellectually assenting to something else. And while that can be pretty profound sometimes, it's not the depth of what we mean when we say that we have had a change of heart. That is so much more central to who we are. That is so much more profound and deep. I mean, literally, it's further down in our bodies, but it is so much deeper to talk of a change of heart. And, you know, the psalmist gets that. It's amazing to talk about heart transplant, a new heart. The law of Moses, the covenant that God made with Israel, that God speaks of and says, you know, in the old times there was an agreement, a covenant that I made with my people Israel that they broke, right? That covenant was written in stone, cold and hard stone. And it was written once for all of the people to receive together, but only one copy written on stone tablets. The covenant in Christ is written not in stone, but in our hearts. Soft, warm, messy, because they are the center of relationship, of emotion, of what it means to feel and to be human. And written not once for people to read and learn and teach, written over and over again individually for each one of us in each one of our hearts. Our old hearts, with our minds trying to wrap around the law on its stone tablets, our old hearts can get clogged up and polluted just like our biological, literal medical hearts can get clogged with plaque and bad stuff, and they don't work so well. And so we need a new heart, a clean heart, an open heart. Literally, we talk about our hearts being hardened, right, calcified and clogged, and our hearts being soft, yielding, open. Past the past pain that we've experienced, or our longing and wistfulness for the past, our anger or frustration or bitterness or disappointment that causes our hearts to get all gunked up, gone. God says, God too, in a sense, has a new heart, taking away, remembering no longer the sin, the evil, the wrongdoing, giving us, again, a new covenant, a new chance, a new opportunity. The old way that we hold on to, the way of relating to God, of just receiving one law written once in one place and kind of intellectually trying to assent to it, it is no more. There is a new covenant, there is a new law, a new word made flesh, written in our flesh. But it's not what we know, and it's not what we're used to. Getting a new heart means letting the old heart go, right? We're talking about a transplant, not an addition. There's not this image that God's going to give the people of Israel a new heart to go along side by side with the old hardened, calcified one. A new covenant that somehow is in tension or somewhat with the older covenant. But a completely new way of being before God, a new way of receiving God's word in our hearts. And that means letting go of the old. That means letting the old heart be removed so that the new one can be put in its place. That means dying. When you think about letting go, we talk about dying to the old, dying to self, the death of self, not our literal death, but the deaths within. And we talk about small ways each day when we let go of our own concerns and we place another person first. And we realize that the part of us, the selfish part of us that thinks of ourselves first, has died bit by bit. When we lose ourselves in love for another person or in love and awe for a moment, and that part of us that is always thinking about our own instincts, our own needs, our own wants, our own concerns, our own desires, is dying bit by bit as we are swept away in a moment, in a person, in the beauty of a flower or a sunrise. When we sacrifice a thing of this world, an item, a purchase that we want, a reflexive reaction of fear or anger, an hour's work in the job or in whatever it is we do, for something more holy, taking the money we would have spent on that item and giving it away in thanksgiving, taking the time that we would have spent at work and spending it with loved ones or in prayer, offering the gift of forgiveness and healing and trust and hope rather than defaulting to our reactions. Those are little deaths that our old ways of being undergo each day, but there is a big one, too, a big transplant that happens in us, a moment or several moments where our lives change dramatically, where our hearts change dramatically. For some of us, in knowing Christ and really experiencing and changing our lives, reorienting our lives around Christ, for some of us that happens kind of at one fixed moment, and we can kind of look back at that moment. We may have been, you know, going to church all along, but there was one moment when, you know, you kind of really got it. So for some people, there's that one moment, and it's like that was the heart transplant moment. Before that, there was another way of thinking and being and feeling and experiencing about God. And then after that moment, there's a whole different one. There's a whole different orientation to my life, and it's entirely changed. For some of us, that happens gradually, and so there are many moments. It's not like there was that one heart transplant moment. But that bit by bit, we kind of have evolved in our relationship until we look back and we realize that over the course of time, we have come to a totally different place. But the outcome is essentially the same. The outcome is that we look back and realize that that old heart is gone. That old way of being and relating to God and to the world is gone. And that there's a new heart inside of us. There's a new orientation inside us. There's a new way of being in the world. There's a new standard by which we make our decisions, by which we interact in the world. Everything else in our lives shifts around that new center, right? We think of heart as the center too, the heart of the matter. And when the heart of the matter changes from here to here, then everything that was kind of rotating around that center has to change too. Everything changes around the new heart, the new center, when we find and discover that that new center is Christ. How has the relationship with God in Christ changed, reoriented your life? How has a new heart been given to you, revealed to you, that God is written, God's word, the word made flesh, Christ, is written within your very self? I invite you to think about that, to pray about that, to feel about that, this week particularly, as we prepare to come before God with our hosannas, our thanksgivings next Sunday, and we rejoice at the notion of Christ as our King, our Lord, our Savior, the one who has given us a new heart, who has changed the entire perspective, the entire center of our lives. And if it's been a little bit of time since you felt that, or since you've looked back and wondered and marveled at the change in your life, then I invite you to open your heart. I imagine a patient about to undergo open heart surgery, or most certainly heart transplant, does so with great trepidation and fear. But we hear the words of Christ that unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. But when it yields itself to the earth, when it gives itself over, it yields a thousandfold. It bears much fruit. What fear and trepidation we imagine it must have in letting go, and what joy in finding new and abundant life. May we be willing to submit ourselves to God's skilled surgery, to yield as a seed does into the earth, which is not a death, but an acceptance that we will be transformed, that we in turn may bear fruit a thousandfold, born anew, with new and right spirits, with hearts filled with God's love and law, with Christ written in our very center, in our very selves. Amen.